It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, you love to hear it, especially when it means what it means right now for this guy. His name is Tim Duncan, former New Orleans athletics director, now the new senior deputy AD at his alma mater, the University of Memphis. Kind enough to have carved out a little bit of time because I know he's extremely busy right now on his way, hopefully, up to Memphis. TD, congratulations, man.
Jason, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. It's great to hear that fight song, man. It's been a while since I've had a chance to be able to celebrate it like this.
Well, you have known for a while how fond, not just me, you know, but my co-host John, also our boss, Brad Carson, been of you for a long time. And for me, it goes back all the way to your Tigers days, obviously. So knowing how fond we are of you, I got to ask you, can we get that switch over to a 901 area code for what yeah, it's been a long time since you've had that 901, it feels like.
It has been a long time, man, and nothing makes my heart warmer than seeing a 901 flash across my screen. So, yeah, we'll have to do something about that for sure.
Tell me about this opportunity, and obviously Ed Scott, you know, he's responsible, brings you on, but just how it came about, Tim, when, you know, whether you thought it was possible to still get over here after Ed Scott's hired, how did it come about?
Yeah, man, I've known Ed for a while. You know, it's, you know, one degree of separation within college athletics, and there's even a smaller degree of separations for, you know, athletic directors of color, for sure. So I've known him for a while and kind of admired him from far. We've, you know, socially kind of hung out at conferences and things of that nature. You know, we got to know each other a little bit better during the whole summer of COVID and George Floyd, when we created the Black Athletic Directors Network, and he was an AD, and I was an AD, and got a chance to know each other a little bit better then. But the origins of this story particularly came from when he got the job. I sent him a text and said, hey, man, you're the right person for this job, and I'm happy for you. And I just sent it because I try to do that with people that I know when they get, you know, an appointment, especially of this magnitude. So, you know, about 2 or 3 weeks later, he reached out and said, man, I have a role that is, you know, a deputy level role that, you know, I think it'd be great for you. I need someone who's, you know, been a veteran AD before that can come in and kind of solidify, you know, things that we're doing and be a voice when, you know, I'm not around, and, you know, someone that's been a leader. And, you know, he thought that I would be that guy. And, you know, we talked a week or so on the phone off and on, and he said, hey, Tim, why don't you come to Memphis, man? I want to talk to you in person. And he did that. He flew me to Memphis, and we met for dinner. And when I sat down and said, Tim, this is not an interview. This job is yours if you want it. Let's just talk to see, you know, if our philosophies align and, wow, you know, how we would work together. And, you know, just like on any good date, when you're having great communication, you see the positive body language, the head nodding, you're completing each other's sentences, and that's how it was. So I feel, you know, very fortunate to he was confident enough to bring a guy who clearly has more ties to the city than he does, yeah, to bring me back home and trust me with his, you know, first big time AD job. Not that Morgan State in the big time at all, but the American, just a higher rated conference. And, you know, for him to bring me back is something I don't take lightly, and I'm going to bust my ass to help him and my alma mater succeed.
Oh, we know you will, and we're all thankful that he did so. And we saw it yesterday, and you can fill us in a little bit more in terms of your primary duties. We know you're going to be in that basketball spot on, right? And that will mean dealing with your, not just dealing, you have a relationship with already, but in a way, and I'll just put it that way, you're going to be the boss of your former teammate in Penny Hardaway. But I want to touch too, Tim, and you can fill us in, but for these folks that are asking, you're going to be on the football side as well, I'm assuming, right? You don't get that high a gig and you ain't at football games and doing football stuff as well, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I'm a, and you know, I think that's where being an athletic director gives me great perspective, because I've attended all sports for all my career. That I've been athletic director for 12 years. So I've been a tennis, cross country, men's, women's soccer, beach volleyball, men's, women's basketball. So, yeah, of course I'm going to be involved with the football. I'll be involved with the Simmons Bank Liberty Bowl renovation project. I'll be at every home game for sure. The road games that he wants me to have a presence, I'll be there as well. I am a huge fan of college football and love it. And college football is the key to mobility within intercollegiate athletics. So we've got the product right on the field, and Coach Silverfield have done a great job there. And I think this Liberty Bowl renovation project and other projects that we've done to support, you know, football through the years will be one of the key rationales for, you know, Power Four conferences finally saying, okay, Memphis is now fully complete. They understand it's more than just being on the field. It's all the other things that, you know, go into having a Power Four football program. So, yes, I'll be involved with, you know, football for sure.
And then with your former teammate, Penny Hardaway, who we know is going into his seventh year, where in particular, in terms of helping him in this gig, I mean, it's clear, I mean, you're his boss, but in terms of adding to what he's doing, where do you feel like you can help him the most?
First, I think just perspective. I mean, I was a role player in Memphis. My job was to set picks, get rebounds, play defense, to help the stars be stars. And as athletic director and as senior deputy athletic director, I still look at it. My job is to help clear obstacles for Penny. Make sure, and I told, when we talked, I said, man, you're a coach. I'm not. I played, but I'm not a coach. My job is to ask questions to make sure your philosophies and actions match up with the goals that we all have for the program. Because if those things aren't in alignment, then we can't get to what we say we want to do. Our actions on a daily basis have to align with the goals, because our habits is what defines us. So he agreed with that right off. And so now that we understand each other fundamentally, my job is, again, ask him questions, you know, give him perspective. This is how you need to look at this from an administrative perspective. You know, coaches have to be inherently somewhat selfish, because their jobs rest on, you know, 18 to 23 and sometimes 24, 25-year-old young men and women.
Yep.
So administrators have the opportunity to look at things from a more universal and practical look. So sometimes when you get out of that fishbowl and you take those binoculars off, whatever analogy you want to use, it gives you a chance to see things from a different light. And that's being enough of an insider to have played and to be the chair of the NIT committee and be on the NCAA Men's Basketball Competition Committee and being the chair of the Southland Conference Basketball Advisory Committee, I have a different perspective. Yep. And we're close enough that we respect each other's ideas and can have, you know, conversations that challenge what some of those ideas have been.
You're new to it, and so is Ed Scott. It's something that's obviously going on, and I think Ed's talked about it, and I won't ask you to get too deep into it, Tim, but I know you know about it. Just how concerned are you? And Ed said that, you know, we've answered all their questions, but this potential investigation going on with the NCAA and the Malcolm Dandridge situation. How much do you know? How much can you tell us?
I just know what I've read. I haven't had a detail. I haven't read the report. I haven't read the filing, and so I'm hesitant to say very much about.
Understood.
You know, we'll cooperate as much as possible and make sure that we understand all the facts and get up to speed as what was happening on the ground, and, you know, try to address that, you know, in a timely fashion to ensure that we're being a great partner, a great member institution to the NCAA. I don't think that we'll take an antagonistic perspective at all. I think we work with them to figure out what we know and what we don't know and try to, you know, fix. Was this an isolated incident, or is there some kind of fundamental challenge that we need to overcome and look at, you know, more holistically? So I don't know if that answers it, that it gives you the answer you wanted, but you know, I'm going to give it to you as much as I know at the time.
Talking, of course, to new senior deputy athletics director Tim Duncan. He's a Tiger, Tiger through and through, and he's a Tiger again, coming back home from where he's been. Had been in New Orleans the last 5 years as athletics director. All right, I must ask you. You touched on it, and I think this is critically important. We know Ed Scott, the first black athletic director at Memphis, and we know, and you would know it better than anybody, Tim. There are so few. Just across the country, minority to say the least, just in terms of people of diversity in those positions in college athletics. So I have to ask you, when you look around at the department now, you see Ed Lally that he just hired. We're going to get familiar with him. I'm imagining, Tim, that it looks a lot different than it did back in the day. At least with Memphis now, than it did when you were director of the M Club. What was that back in 07, 09?
Yeah. It definitely looks different, and it's time for sure. My staffs have routinely reflected the student athlete population. And I think that's the most important thing, right? Yep. You want young men and young women to see people who look like them, and then you want young men and young women who see people who look different from them or from a different land, so they can understand that leadership is leadership, and it doesn't, it's not colored, literally, sorry for the pun, it's not colored by race. And so, back when, during George Floyd, when, I was stopped by police at gunpoint, I thought the lesson for not only my students of color was, this can happen to, black men, in anywhere. I thought it was great for our students who were international and, some of our white student athletes to say, hey, they call me Mr. Tim. This is Mr. Tim. I know him. I see him with his family every game. So it kind of helped overcome the myth and the narrative that, some of these guys are criminals, and it only happens to bad people. So I think that having leadership that is diverse, that matches what the student athletes' body look like, is representative of what it should be. And I think it's the right time for this to happen. There'll be a diverse staff. Ed believes that we need to have people that look diverse, to have diverse experiences, to come and help us achieve what we need to achieve. And I think he's done I think he's off to a great start for sure.
I got a 92 Elite Eight poster. I got a 92 Tigers poster. I guess it's a Tigers poster where all the members of that team signed it. And on there is Tim Duncan. How often do you go back to, you're coming back to work with a guy that you played with on those teams, but how often do you think back to they feel like the, I know 08 was great, and it was the pinnacle,
right.
But man, those were good times back in those days.
What's so proud when I think about those times is so many, I think 10 maybe of the guys were from Memphis,
yes.
And no one else on the team, I think in 92, was more than, a couple hundred miles away. So the fact that most of us grew up in Memphis and was able to wear Memphis across our chest and make it to the Elite Eight made it so much more special. It was something that, as a Memphian, you feel proud that guys that we competed with and against, throughout, our formative years are all pulling together for the city that we know and love. So that's the best part about it, that played for a coach that's from a city. I don't know that there have been very many opportunities like that. Obviously, the 85 Memphis team, the 73 Memphis team, and the 08 had some Memphis guys for sure. But that one was, I would have to guess, had the most guys that were from the city.
Oh, yeah.
That, played significant roles in the success of that program.
Now, as what you said, it just meant more because of all those reasons. And that,
absolutely.
Yeah, that it just meant more, and it meant more to all of us. And I know it did to y'all. Now, I got somebody that claims to be in the know. Me and John are White Station boys. We know you're a Melrose guy. You came up a Melrose.
Yeah.
You're a Golden Wildcat. But this person in the know told me that you went to White Station Middle. Is that true?
I did. It was junior high back in the olden days.
Hey.
Yeah, I went to White Station Junior. So I went to Campus Elementary School.
Yep.
So I went to school right there on the University campus, and I thought I was going to Bellevue, another, high academic school,
sir,
back in the day. But my sixth grade teacher said, no, you're not going over there with the friends you hang out with. You're going to go to White Station with your other group of friends so they can challenge you. And they did. And I didn't like it at the time, but she knew what I needed, and unfortunately back then, but fortunately my parents sided with her and sent me to White Station, and I got a chance to have a higher education and continue my education with a lot of kids that I went to at campus and met a whole bunch of new folks. And then, you know, finally when it was time to come to high school, my dad let me go to my neighborhood high school. And, you know, the people in my neighborhood, we walked to school together. So I had a pretty diverse background of growing up in the city, and I loved it. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I wouldn't trade my time at campus at White Station, and absolutely I wouldn't trade my time at Melrose High School. So I feel, and the key thing, I think I did the math, I never went to school in Memphis more than 2.8 miles from the University of Memphis. So I grew up around there. I went to the school around there. And even in my formative years, my schools were not far from what, you know, is a return to that, you know, kind of that space.
You were destined to come back, man. I'm at, you talked about the whole family's still here, right? They must be Bingman, coming home.
Yeah, my brother lives in Houston, but my parents are there. My cousin put us on a group text and talked to probably the 20 other cousins that live there. And
the Sunday dinners, Tim. Oh my gosh, the family times.
You know, I've missed that for sure. So I'm really excited to get back in. You know, get in the same time zone, get in the same city with you know, all of my family.
Well, listen, we know you're a basketball guy and everything else, but I bet you're ready for some football with this Memphis football team. Everything they got lined up, it'll be next week. I imagine you're expecting big things, just like we all are with Ryan Silverfield and that Memphis football team.
I am, man. I'm excited. So I went to, unfortunately, there was the death of a longtime media member here a couple of weeks ago, and his funeral was yesterday, and I went, and the new Tulane coach was there, and a guy introduced us, and, you know, he heard that I was going back to Memphis. He said, man, he talked to Ryan during the AAC football coach conference, and they said they hope both of them are undefeated, so when that game occurs on Thanksgiving night in New Orleans, Memphis at Tulane, this is for all the marbles. And I think it's a great chance for that game to mean something, and that's what you want to do. That's the type of hope that Coach Silverfield has brought to Memphis Tiger football. We're excited. I'm excited to get there and, you know, see his brand of football up close and personal. And playing for championships is what we all aspire to do, and we have a great opportunity to do that. And we have a veteran quarterback that refused portal options to stay and play in Memphis, and that gives you a chance. So I'm excited. I can't wait to meet Coach Silverfield in person and watch some Tiger football at a level that I've never experienced in person.
Tim, congrats. Thank you for this, and welcome home. Welcome home.
Thank you, Jason.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate that.
Always a pleasure.
John, Brad, thank you so much, man.
Nice. It's a pleasure. He is Tim Duncan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.